came to Myrtle Beach to go on a golf holiday.
It wasn't a golf holiday.
A road trip kills a friendship.
He didn't have his cash, he didn't have his credit cards with him or anything like that.
And my man right here said, I got it, don't worry about it.
But what really happened on their vacation?
Let's go to court and I will tell the judge what you spent the money on. I'm sure it'll go over well.
Partying and drinking and golfing.
Doesn't sound like that to me.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Robert Bloomfield is suing his former friends, Ronald Fortuna, and his wife, Joy Gagne, for a loan to play golf for 10 days in Myrtle Beach.
Order. All rise.
Yes, yeah, case number 168 on the calendar, in the matter of Bloomfield versus Fortuna Gagne.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Judge Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated.
Mr. Bloomfield, it is your claim that you made loans totaling $5,000 to the defendants for some vacation-related expenses. Convince me.
Yes, Your Honor. Good morning.
Convince me.
On June 6th of 2010, we came to Myrtle Beach to go on a golf holiday for 10 days. And the night I got there at midnight, he gave me the bad news that he didn't have a wallet, he didn't have his cash, he didn't have his credit cards with him or anything like that. So for a day or so, we had to figure out what we were going to do to figure out Ron's position. So we golfed the first day, and that night we put a plan together that we would send his wife $2,500. I would get it from my bank account from another country and overnight it to his wife. And then his wife, in that turn, would turn around and send him $1,250 to the Marriott so he could live on that during the week.
What kind of work do you do, sir?
I'm in the automobile business. I'm unemployed as we speak, but I've only been out of work for 30 days.
What do you mean you were in the automobile business in June of 2010? What does that mean?
I'm a sales manager in Canada.
Keep going. So far, you're not convincing me.
Well, what I did was I called my bank and I had my banker overnight $2,500 check to his wife, and then we continued to golf for another day or so while she was receiving this check and then trying to get it cashed. In the meantime, she couldn't get it cashed because they didn't have a checking account or a savings account or anything of that nature. Then she finally got the check deposited in her uncle's bank account, in which they would not release any funds for another 5 or 6 days on a certified check. And so as the time went on, so did the golfing and so did the dinners and so did everything else. And Ron and I had an agreement that he would pay me back in another 30 or 60 days. And I've known him for 22 years. I have no reason in the world not to believe him. He had a situation. He has got little kids at home at the time and he didn't have any money, didn't have his credit cards, didn't have anything.
Then he should have gone home. Mr. Bloomfield, that's what you do. Then you go home. That's the plan.
Or
you can go this convoluted story of banks and uncle's bank accounts and sending her a $2,500 check that she's going to send back to you so that, don't show me the check, I'm not interested. So far, you failed to convince me, Mr. Bloomfield.
I've got...
Keep going.
Okay. How about some emails, Judge? I've got some emails from Ron stating that he will pay me back. I mean, Judge, I talked to him, and he told me that he was going to send it to Western Union. What's your Western Union?
Money. What were you doing going out and playing golf? How much did it cost you for a round of golf?
$80 a round.
That's pretty reasonable
times
for a round
two,
of golf.
Times two, times eight. I paid for it every single day.
Oh, yeah. Listen to me, sir. If you have no money, you go home. That's what you do. Came, well, you have no money, then you go home, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Why didn't you go home?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Okay, let's start from the beginning. It wasn't a golf holiday. I do invitation sales, event sales for different dealers. Robbie and I have been friends for 20 years. He said, listen, I want to come in and we'll play golf for a couple days. Let's work a sale so I can offset my cost. I call him and said, listen, I got a sale in North Carolina. It's like 30 miles north of Myrtle Beach. He says, okay, come on, I'll come in and do it. I tell him, listen, our company has cabins that only cost $160 a piece for each of us. So he emails me back and says, oh, I got reservations at the Hyatt for $160 a night. I says, listen, I can't afford that. He goes, don't worry about it, I got it, okay? So the first day we went out and played golf, okay? He asked me about how the sales worked. I told him how many hours, yada, yada. He says to me, I just want to play golf and have fun. I said, I'd love to do that too, but I got to work. He says, what would you make this week? I said, I make $2,500, $3,000. He says, I got it. I called my wife and asked her, said, listen, do you care if I hang out? Robbie's going to send you a check. She says, I don't care if you go hang out, if it's not costing you anything. Right. Let me talk. Okay? So he gets on the phone in the middle of the seventh fairway or whatever it is with his banker, calls her, tells her, send a check for $2,500. No mention of a loan, no mention of anything. He knew I didn't have any money the first day I was there. I was there to work, not to play. And then the second or third day we're in there, he's showing me his bank accounts and how much money he's got in there, his Porsche in the driveway, his Corvette in the driveway. I'm thinking, okay, my buddy made it.
You got a 30-foot boat?
I'm not disagreeing, I have a 30-foot boat.
Just want my money, Judge.
We proceeded to play golf. I'm not going to say that we didn't. I am not saying that any of that didn't happen. None of it was ever mentioned of a loan or anything like that. When we got back home to Augusta, emailing pictures of the golf course, emailing pictures of this. Nothing's mentioned of nothing. All of a sudden, 4 months later, I get a thing, I want my money back. I said, what are you talking about? You want your money back.
Oh, June, okay? Told me you'd
Mr. Bloomfield, one more talking. Do you understand? I'm not even going to hear you again. You're gone.
Yes,
do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Great.
So I said, what are you talking about? All this, you know, this and I want this money and this money. You know, then he started threatening, I'm going to sue you for $15,000. I'm going to tell the government about your taxes and all other kinds of stuff. And nothing was in my name. So I knew in all essence there was really nothing. It was in Joy's name. So to protect her and to make sure nothing was going to happen to her, I pacified him, till I could find out what my options were and what could happen to her.
What could happen to her for what?
For getting a check in her name and how he could sue her or whatever it could be. Because it wasn't in my name. It was in hers, okay? You know, and then he was sending threatening emails and making fun of her on Facebook, and she looks like a giraffe and all this other stuff. So we blocked him from Facebook, blocked him from our phones, you know? If I, for the first minute, thought that I owed him the money and it was a loan, I would have never took it, and I would have worked a week, just like I worked for the last 7 months, doing the same exact thing.
What kind of work do you do now?
I work at a Toyota dealership.
Is that the same kind of work you were doing in June 2010?
I've been a car salesman for 25 years.
Have you been back to Myrtle Beach since?
No.
Have you been back to the cabins since?
No.
How many children do you have?
Two.
How old are they?
5 and 3.
What are you doing playing golf for 10 days?
Well, I work every day. That's not a question of my morals. I've been taking care of my children.
No, I'm asking you, what are you doing playing golf for 10 days and living on somebody else's, if I believe your story, you were living on somebody else's charity?
I wasn't living on anybody's charity.
Yeah, sure
charity.
You were.
I'm not disagreeing that.
What I'm saying to you. You're living on somebody else's charity.
If something good happened to me, if something great happened to me and I had all this and all that, and I had a buddy for 25 years and he was out, I'd take care of
him. First of all, the relationship is getting longer and longer.
It's 1988, so whatever that math is.
Yes. And
what was I playing golf?
Yeah,
I had just worked for 7 months straight. It was a holiday, vacation.
It wasn't a vacation for you. You were supposed to be working.
I know. And my man right here said, I got it. Don't worry about it.
Mr. Bloomfield, now I would like to take a look at the emails that you say you have.
Burr.
Thank you.
I have some Facebook emails too, ma'am.
I'd like to see them. Why don't you tell me what you spent the money on?
What I spent the money on?
Yeah.
I sent it home and to pay my bills just like I would
every
other week.
Let's go to court and I will tell the judge what you spent the money on. I'm sure it'll go over well.
Who are you referring to?
Yeah. Show this to the defendant.
Now, partying and drinking and golfing.
Doesn't sound like that to me. Doesn't sound like that to me.
Which money? The money that he sent or the money that he spent?
Both.
The money that he sent, I sent home, paid my bills with. The money that he spent there, we drank, played golf, and went to the beach. Plain and simple.
I don't think so.
What do you think we spent it on?
I don't know. But if you spent it on going out for dinner and playing golf, I wouldn't have this line. Let's go to court and I'll tell the judge what you spent the money on. I'm sure that will go over well.
I just want to make sure if we're going to be doing emails and all that stuff that we have all of them in there about...
I don't know if we have all of them or not.
That's my point, so if...
I don't know if we have them all or not.
Well, I don't keep mine because I'm not a Facebooker, okay?
Well, if you're on Facebook, you're a Facebooker.
I have it because I have two older kids.
If you're on a Facebook, you're a Facebooker. There are other ways to communicate with your children, like a telephone.
Yeah, I understand.
Write them a letter. I have children, too. I'm not on Facebook.
I'd friend you if you were.
Excuse me?
I would make you my friend if you were.
I wouldn't want to be your friend, sir.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Connor, can I say something before we're done? When we're out on this trip, okay, he bought me a golf shirt and a pair of golf shorts. I've been playing golf my whole life. I got my own golf shorts and golf shorts. I says, what, I don't need this. Well, let me get you a golf shirt. It wasn't a date, okay?
And later today.
My witness is here to prove that she has been slandering me to my client.
This witness cannot testify that she's been slandering you to your clients.
To her. She is my
client. That she can testify to.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Robert Bloomfield says former friends Ronald Fortuna and his wife Joy Gagne conned him out of more than $8,000.
Now, what do you want me to read and hear?
Those are the messages she sent me on Facebook because he kept texting us and calling and everything and threatening, so we blocked him.
Did you tell him at any point that he owed you $3,500?
Yes.
Okay. So you have bills, I assume, that add up to this thing, and you say, actually, all I want is the $2,500 I sent to Joy and $1,000 for golf incidentals. And he says to you, buddy, no problem. Yes. That was on June 29th, 2010.
Your Honor, can I say something before we're done? When we're out on this trip, okay, he's bought me a golf shirt and a pair of golf shorts. I've been playing golf my whole life. I got my own golf shorts and golf shorts. I says, what, I don't need this. Well, let me get you a golf shirt. It wasn't a date, okay?
Mind, I'm not talking about that, sir. Did you pay for your own golf fees?
No, I did not.
That's what I'm saying to you. I'm
sure.
Not talking about a golf shirt.
Okay.
You said no problem.
I was doing that to pacify him because there was a check in her name, not mine. I wasn't worried about me.
It's just a second. This is right after you came home.
I'm
and there was no acrimony, and there was no acrimony when you said, that's going to be tough to get all that at once. Let me work on it. There was no acrimony in your answer. There was no protecting your wife. You said, I got it. I'm going to try to get some together. It'll be hard to get it together all the one time. Let me see what I can do. No acrimony. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $3,500. Thank you. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Just wanted my money. I just wanted my money.
I never thought it was a loan in the first place.
I just, you know, pay me back my money.
I thought it was a gift.
You just, you don't do that.
I'm disappointed in what happened.
Not even if it's a 25-year relationship, you don't.
It's tragic, but it's over.
We just stopped all communication and
never friends when it comes to money.
And that was it.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter, Buckingham versus Gillard. Step forward, please.
Salon owner Sandra Buckingham is suing hairstylist Nicole Gillard for unpaid booth rent.
Ms. Buckingham, according to what I've read, you own a large salon. The defendant rented a booth in that salon from you for some time.
Yeah, the only salon's not
and
large.
It is your claim that she had a lease with you. It is a written lease.
Yes.
Lease expired in August, and prior to the time her lease expired, she had not paid you rent for periods of time.
Correct.
She has a variety of reasons that she did not pay the rent, which I will allow her to tell me since it's already acknowledged by you, that there were times that you did not pay rent, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then she has a counterclaim because she says that after all of this back and forth over the rent and after she moved out, you slandered her to clients and she lost business. That's her counterclaim. Okay. Now, Ms. Gillard, you rent one small booth in a larger salon. You bring your own clientele, I assume. Is that correct?
Correct.
How many days a week did you work at Ms. Buckingham's?
For the most part, 5 days. A lot of times it was 6 days.
5 or 6 days?
Yes.
Now, for what months is she delinquent in rent?
In 2010, she owes for April 29th, July 29th, September 30th, and December 30th. And in 2011, she owes for March 24th, March 31st, May 26th, June 16th, 23rd, 30th, and 28th, and July 7th, and August 4th.
Okay. Now you're going to tell me why you didn't pay your rent.
Okay. Most of the dates were because there was a fifth week, and we agreed on $600 a month. So she's saying I owe for those weeks, and I don't owe for those weeks.
You agreed on $600 a month, right?
No, we agreed on $150 a week, Your Honor. The lease says it.
Is that what the lease says?
Yes.
May I see it, please?
Yes. And this is a copy of the lease because the original
copy's
I had
fine.
In my file cabinet.
Yes, $150 a week, not $600 a month.
That's what we agreed on. She didn't ask about $150 a week. It was $600 a month.
No, your lease says $150 a week.
Because she asked me if I wanted to sign by the week, pay
listen
by the
to
week.
Me. Listen to me. This lease, the four corners of this lease say that you have to give her $150 per week, period. Doesn't say anything about $600. the lessee shall schedule to have the use of the chair 5 days a week. And you say you sometimes had it 6 days a week.
Correct.
Well, so she let you have it for an extra day at no extra charge. Is that right?
Correct.
So that you owe her minimally $1,650. I haven't heard a reason why you don't owe her that money.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Sandy would say, well, don't even bother making an appointment. She doesn't ever show up for her appointment, which I've never had that experience with her, so I was confused. And she
did it stop you from going?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Salon owner Sandra Buckingham says hairstylist Nicole Gillard owes for space she was renting in her shop. Nicole is countersuing for slander.
Go ahead. Well, March 24th, the basement had flooded. She didn't let me know that it flooded until I got in the next day, and she wrote a note on the book saying that we don't have any hot water, full well knowing that I had clients marked on the books that I needed hot water for.
How many days didn't you have hot water?
2 days.
How many weeks did you work in the last year? 6 days a week instead of five? More than two?
Probably.
Very good. What are your other excuses for not paying rent?
I don't owe her the money. We agreed on $600 a month.
All right, so on your claim, I'm awarding you $1,650.
Your Honor.
That's clean. Now, I'm going to get to your counterclaim. I have 3 minutes.
Okay, my witness is here to prove that she has been slandering me to my clients.
This witness cannot testify that she's been slandering you to your clients.
To her.
No,
she is my
client. That she can testify to. She can testify as to conversations that she had with the plaintiff. She can't testify with regard to anything else. Do you understand?
Correct.
Okay. Now you want to tell me first your name, please.
I'm Kyla De Leon.
And were you a client of the defendant's?
Yes.
How long had you been a client of hers?
At least 7 years, maybe a little over.
Did you ever have, prior to the end of the lease, any dispute with the plaintiff with regard to the defendant?
Yes, over the phone, when I'd call in sometimes to make appointments with Nikki and ask for her, Sandy would say, nope, she's not here. And I would be like, well, can I make an appointment? Well, don't even bother making an appointment. She doesn't ever show up for her appointments, which I've never had that experience with her, so I was confused. And she's
did
like,
it stop you from going?
No, but because I'd been a client for a long time.
But it didn't stop you from going?
Correct.
So she didn't lose any business as a result of the gruff treatment?
In my case.
In your case?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about any other case because there are no other witnesses here.
Well, I think you have... You know, Nikki has letters from...
I don't read letters.
...other clients.
I don't read letters. I see witnesses so I can ask them questions, just okay. Like I asked you questions. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning spot. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
What else?
I mean, all I can say is that I was there 5 to 6 days a week. Miss Buckingham was only there 2.5 days. I ran her salon for her. I ran the tanning, which I have proof of her tanning business, that I ran her tanning business for her when she wasn't there.
Just a second. So my question to you is, how does that fit in with your rent that you didn't pay?
Because I did all these extra things for her.
Well, did you have a contract with her that said?
It was just a verbal contract.
Well, tell me what the verbal contract was.
Stating that when I'm there and tanning clients walk in, that I am supposed to service the tanning business.
So?
She was not there to run her business. I ran her business for
it
her.
It doesn't make any difference. You haven't told me about a contract. You've told me, she said, you have to take care of my tanning clients. Put your hand down. You could have said, I don't want to take care of your tanning clients. And I gave you ample opportunity to try to explain why you didn't pay this rent. And so far,
we had a verbal agreement.
No, you didn't have
$600. It was a verbal agreement. Oh. She asked me if I
judgment
wanted to pay
for the plaintiff
in
the amount of $1,650. That's all.
Your Honor.
Out. Counterclaim is dismissed. Goodbye.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I ran her business for her.
He lied about the doing the tanning.
I had to sell product for her.
You know, there was probably two or three people occasionally.
Make her appointments.
And she did get paid for doing that.
Run her tanning business.
Did not run the business.
She was never there, and I ran the whole shop.
She was hardly ever there.
Left, and that's why she's upset.
She just is a spoiled brat and thought she could get away with it. That's what I see.